Jeff, who's in L.A., right? Jeff, you're in California?
No, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, I was close.
What a downer.
But it was like L.A. today. It was like 70 degrees.
Oh, there you go. And James, who's living in New York City, you know, in the place. And I'm in South Florida for now. Still good and real happy about that. But welcome to the show. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. With everything going on around the world, you should sleep in and wake up to see us at 8 p.m. We got some topics to talk about today. It's interesting. We usually start the show with get to know and get to remember. I'll start with James because I know James the most. James been to South Florida and did some of our shows here. We've worked together at Kazi's Comedy Club in Newport, Virginia, Newport News, Virginia, who we're supposed to be working there in December, but we may not. You know, you hear
us? Is that for certain that date's not happening?
It's still on hold because they were supposed to open on November.
Yeah.
Last weekend, and she said she didn't feel comfortable. So, you know, now with this vaccine out, which one of our topics today, now that the vaccine's out.
What club are you talking about?
Kazi's Comedy Club in Newport News, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
And we're supposed to be there on December 18th, 19th or something like that. And the owner's like, we don't know if we're going to open. We were planning on it, but everybody's nervous with the resurgence.
It's not like it's going to get any colder. I mean, so I'm not too faithful about that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And Jeff, who I met in California at the, it used to be called the Laughlin Laugh Fest, but it's a different name now, at the comedy contest that we were in back last summer.
Yeah, it was the Antelope Valley Comedy Festival in Lancaster, I was going to say Lancaster, Pennsylvania, different Lancaster, Lancaster, California.
That's right. And you did great. You had a great set. It was one of those comedy festivals where you cannot repeat, or comedy contests where you cannot repeat material. And I was like, well, what do I open up with? And some other comics said, come out with your best stuff. No, save it. And I ended up coming out doing stuff I probably shouldn't have done.
Well, I advanced to the finals by doing your stuff that you didn't get to.
Thanks. Yeah, I see you.
Yeah, genius.
I just want you to know you're very, very funny.
Yeah, thanks.
You're a great writer.
And let me tell you, you're one hell of a performer because when you were doing those fat guy jokes, they were killing.
They go, wow, why is that skinny woman talking about being a fat guy? But she's so likable.
The Me Too movement, honey. It's the Me Too movement.
With it. What is your suggestion on contest? Do you just try to get to the next round and worry about it later, or do you actually plan out a little bit material?
Oh, I had my sets all planned out for like each round.
Okay, very, very interesting.
I think that a good show, your set should have like a one-man show. You should have an arc for people get to know who you are, and then your opinions and whatever struggles you have, and then and as you go along in your show, people get to know you and see what you're all about, and you progress. The things you talk about should have a natural kind of arc or narrative to them. So the same thing when people are seeing you several times over different sets and maybe different nights, they get to know you. So your first set should be, you know, what you're all about, and then second set later a little bit more, and then also too you get to watch what the other comedians are doing, what their acts are like, what their characters are like, what their material is like, and then you can adjust so you can be more, you know, if you have a lot of family stuff, but then there's a lot of guys doing a lot of family stuff, you might want to do your relationship stuff, and if you have a lot of guys doing relationship stuff, so you have to be prepared, but also at the same time, you have to be fluid.
That's great advice. That's great. That's perfect answer.
That's why Dougie had me on his podcast.
That's right. All that. No, but it's true because you don't know. It's great to have it all planned, but you know, sometimes I've had that situation where I over plan. You know what I mean? Because like you're saying, then you go there. Mm-hmm. Like you go into a show and some guy, you know, like some guy opens up and he's doing fat guy bits. Oh, damn, that's my opening. That's my opening get, you know, that's right. My self-deprecating humor. I want to open up for first couple of minutes.
I've done it where like I do a contest and I know I'm doing like 5 minutes. So I'll like run the 5 minute set like 60 times before. And then when I do it, All I do is the set. I don't like read the room or do anything else, and it's just like I just forget like this is a crowd. This isn't the same crowd. Like you got to get them all the time. So that's been one of my cruxes when I do contests. Just like planning it, like Dougie said, like just being too planned out and not like sticking to the script and not adjusting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you do in that moment? Like you said, that's always the battle, you know. Do I go? Because that night I said, okay, I'm not gonna, I'm gonna come out with. I came out with some funny stuff. I just came out with some funny jokes. But the problem I felt was that people didn't get to really know me yet, so they weren't getting where I was going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you know, we were in California. Some of the stuff was edgier. You know, I was like, you know, I played in over 40 soccer league, and it was hard for me to ask Juan, Pedro, and Jorge to make a wall. You know, in the middle of the summer. The one guy who ran the cruise lines, he was looking at me after the, she was like, he just detested me as a, you know, like I was like, I must've been Donald Trump myself. Yeah. And
just a joke.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Do you notice that, Jeff? Do you notice the difference in the, like you're in Cleveland, Ohio. That's pretty open. I perform there. It's pretty, but do you see the differences in the, some of these different towns?
Yeah, but, I find that there's no difference in how my material works, but there's a big difference in what I have to do to get to the point where all my material works. So it's like I can get all my stuff to work, even this, you know, on the West Coast and also the East Coast. But if I'm on the West Coast and I'm like, hi, they might go, oh, shut up. Yeah. Or on the, you know, if I'm on down south, whatever, if I don't come up and go, hi, everyone, how are you? You know, they're going to go, who's this guy think he is? So I just have to find the right energy, the right way to present myself. I feel like you're going to act differently when you're trying to pick up a chick in a bar than you would when you're meeting her parents for the first time. And when you walk into an open mic night and you see all the comics, you know, and the club owners, you know, you're going to act differently than when you walk into a club in a different city and you don't know any of the bookers or any of the comics. So I realize you have to have a different face for different crowds. You have to know, you have to have comedy politeness, as I like to call it. You have to know how to break the ice with the different crowds. And I figure once you do that, once you know how to tap into the sensibilities of the region you're in and know what the proper etiquette is for presenting yourself to them so that they accept you, then everything falls into play. Like I'm one of those comics, like either everything I do everywhere works everywhere or it dies, you know? So like, I don't have like this joke work and that joke didn't work. I it's either a long 50 minutes or I'm getting a standing ovation. So what I learned, it's even the biggest redneck in the world has a satellite dish on his double wide and watches comedy specials. You know what I mean? They watch PBS, they watch documentaries, they watch a History Channel. So people are smart everywhere. Even the dumbest crowds are smart. Now I sound like Norm Crosby, but so what's different is the vernacular, the way that you talk to people, the way you approach to people. Like when what I find is that in the East Coast or LA, when you say, oh man, I love, let's say like, I love political correctness. They know that you're going to slam political correctness. But in certain areas of the country, when you say, I love political correctness, they're going, how can this asshole like political correctness? Oh man, you suck. You know what I mean? So you can't get to your bits because they don't understand the subtleties of stand-up comedy. They don't understand the language. They don't understand that when comics say things, they usually mean the opposite. Or that when you say something that is maybe a little bit offensive, you're going to make a broader point and it's going to be a positive point. So that's what I find difficult playing in different regions, knowing how they're going to accept and react to the various methods that you use as a comic to engage with them.
Well, in your style of comedy, you know what I mean? It's you, it's your story and you're funny. You know, there's nothing, you know, there, I mean, you know, you're right. People are going to get it, and it's there. It's not going to be like there's certain parts of my comedy people may be offended by. Okay, uh-huh. You know what I mean? Because it is a little edgier out there and something. You know what I mean? I'm across the line here and there. James, you know, James is, you know, I think that's good about you too. Is like you're pretty much open, on your material. You know, you crack about yourself and stuff like that and situations and things like that. But you're a young guy too. You can get away with, you know, the girlfriend jokes and the dating jokes.
Yeah, but also it's like, you know, but if I go outside the city, everyone in the city is single, they're on dating apps, they're, you know, into their careers. But when I get out of the city, I do have to relate to the people who are marrying their high school sweethearts at 25 or the 40 and up crowd that's like, you know, doesn't know about dating apps or doesn't know what's cool. So that's always been a challenge for me, just to kind of connect with you know, people that, like, in normal life, I probably wouldn't be able to connect with at all. You know, I think it's just like talking about when making, like you said, make the jokes about yourself. It's also, I think, like, I try to find the emotion and what the joke is. And if it's like, because everyone kind of understands that, you know, anger, sadness, disappointment. So I try to, like, connect with people on that level, you know. But
absolutely. And by the way, make yourself at home, my friend.
Am I too comfortable looking?
No, you look great. You know, I mean, look, Jeff built a brick wall for this. Okay.
And a glass of water.
He's there. And, but you know, and you're getting ready to watch, All in the Family. but no, but in the contest part of it, cause I'm going to be in the World Series of Comedy. I'm heading to Vegas, tomorrow, actually. And I'm up on Friday. I think I go fourth. I got the choice spot out of eight people. I'm going fourth. I think that's the, you know, I think that's probably the best place to be because the crowd's ready. That, right? It's like the sweet spot. And I'm doing 8 minutes. So this whole thing is like, I want to do new stuff. That's why I've been doing all the open mics. I want to do new stuff that nobody at the World Series of Comedy has even seen me do. Yeah. Dougie's telling his Asian wife joke again. You know, I want to see if I could, you know, just rip some new stuff up and just be risky and take advantage. Nice. And then if I move on, then I'll worry about the 20 minute sets and things like that. Speaking of entertainers, by the way, rest in peace, Alex Trebek. You know, here's a guy. Now, could you imagine, as comics, I always thought it'd be fun to host a game show. You guys ever think about hosting a game show?
Oh, I did it a lot on the cruise ships. I was a staff member for Carnival Cruise Lines when I ran the Punchliner Comedy Club on my ship. And so I was comedy club manager, but I had to do other activities. So I did all kinds of fun activities, and I thought it would be cool to, like, actually, you know, host a game show on TV. I mean, look at Drew Carey. I think he's like a perfect host. Wayne Brady, perfect host.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I could see you hosting a show there, Jeff. I could see you hosting, you know. I don't know.
I already host two, Hollywood Game Night and The Weakest Link. Haven't you been watching TV?
Yeah, it's amazing they brought that game back, The Weakest Link. You know, uh-huh. Yeah, she's perfect for it. Or I should say you're perfect for it, Jeff. now, that's a great joke that you tell. And you had to have people stop you on the street, right? There was anybody, you know, it's kind of, you know, someone comes up to you and says, oh, you look like, you know.
Oh, well, it's funny. I can just say this in my act that I look so much like Jane Lynch that it never occurs to some people not to tell me that. Like, hey, has anybody ever told you that you look like the actress Jane Lynch? No, you're the first. Everybody else has been polite enough to just think it.
Yeah, people come up to me and ask me if I'm Ron Jeremy, so it's a little different. You know? I mean, mind you, I'm not in a nude beach. Then it'd be a compliment.
But Alex Trebek actually passed away on my birthday. My birthday was Sunday.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, so it kind of sucked. It's like I felt as if because of his passing, like all of Hollywood totally forgot about my birthday. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of like when Farrah Fawcett died, when Michael Jackson died.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Was it him or Prince? Remember that? Didn't she die the same day Michael Jackson died?
Oh, it's so bad.
Right?
What a bummer. But I had both of their posters over my bed, so I was covered.
Who would be like Steve Harvey? You know, I was like, Family Feud was a show I thought I would love to host. I do a bit on stage about it. I'll bring somebody on stage, you know, get a nice young lady to come on stage and ask her some quick questions, like name something you find in your husband's pocket, you know, and, you know, another word for dick or another word for cock, you know, whatever.
I think they should get a comic to replace Alex Trebek. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I was thinking Mark Maron, the host of WTF.
Oh, perfect person.
Yeah, because
he's a bundle of joy.
Well, because I would love to hear Mark Maron go, all right, it's the island in which Napoleon was born. And then have some 65-year-old librarian from Iowa go, what the fuck is Corsica?
it would be bad. There wouldn't be. It has to be somebody who's obviously smart and pretty quick-witted, right? So, maybe Joe Rogan. Maybe Joe Rogan hosting the Jeopardy.
Maybe Ken Burke could do it.
Well, if you get the Daily Double wrong, you have to eat like a bucket of worms.
Yeah, mixes both game shows up.
You know? I just saw an old Fear Factor episode. He looks like a completely different person. Like, he's the same stature and everything, but with the hair and like he just looks so different.
He's a beast. You know, he's turning into a fighter himself.
Yeah. Now he just looks like a gigantic bicep. Just one giant deltoid.
He's in a constant flex.
I don't know how that guy sleeps, man. He does so much stuff.
Yeah, well, you can also mix Jeopardy and mix martial arts together. That would be great.
Just beat up contestants.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
arm locks.
Before they get into double Jeopardy, if you have 0 points, you have to, you have to eat somebody's elbow or somebody's
elbow. Or you could just win that day if you fight Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
You'll just win automatically.
It's like the golden buzzer, you know. And okay, you get the golden buzzer. You automatically go to the Jeopardy championship round if you can actually beat me in 1 minute.
Yeah.
I've had people say that to me all my life in martial arts. Could you beat up Jean-Claude Van Damme? Can you beat up this guy? Can you fight Chuck Norris? I go, jeez. I said, yeah, I can. Go get him. go set it up, man. Yeah, it would be interesting. Steve Harvey, you know, I love Steve Harvey. He's a funny guy, but he messes up a lot, man. I can't understand what Steve Harvey's saying when I watch Family Feud. You know, he'll say, like, name a word that rhymes with hoo-hoo. What the fuck was that? You know, I didn't hear the word, man. And he'll,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just saying. He especially the speed round, he'll start reading and he'll be like, he doesn't, and he fucks up. Oh, stop the clock. You know, it's kind of
right.
And his big blunder was, what was his big blunder on a Miss America or something like that, where he announced the wrong lady?
Miss Universe.
Yeah. So, but he's funny to watch. I mean, when I watch that show, you got to be funny, you know. And it's easy, the questions they ask, you know.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about Family Feud. I don't think they poll anybody. I don't think they ask 100 women. I don't think they ask anybody. I think the writers on the show fill in those answers. I really do. I don't buy the shit about anybody's being polled with some of these answers. James, what are you going to say?
I was going to say if you guys still watch all these shows like today or like recently, like.
Yeah, I do. I'll have them on when I'm doing stuff on the computer.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. I try to watch a Jeopardy and I like, Ellen's Game of Games, but that's kind of stuff that I put on when you know I'm doing busy work or you know working on the computer doing bills or whatever. But I still like Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, comes on here seven. It comes on here 7 o'clock. Wheel of Fortune, 7:30. Jeopardy. My wife usually likes those two.
There was a great comedian that I was influenced by. He was in the 80s and 90s, and he became a TV producer and writer. His name was Drake Sather. And he had the absolute best Jeopardy versus Wheel of Fortune bit. He says, Jeopardy makes you feel stupid because you don't know any of the answers. And Wheel of Fortune makes you feel stupid because you're watching it. And it goes, big difference in the quality of the contestants on Jeopardy. It's like, hi, meet Dave. In his spare time, he builds brains with his own two hands. And then on Wheel of Fortune, it's like, say hello to Michael. He's fascinated by small, shiny objects.
Yeah, it's true, man. Big difference. I was impressed because I'm actually pretty good at Jeopardy when I watch it now, and I realize I'm not that smart. I'm just old. You know what I mean? Like you just know you remember this shit. You know, I surprised my wife, and I think then you start thinking maybe I can win this game, and then you realize no, they probably know the answers quicker than you do because you watch those people on Jeopardy pressing that button, you know, I got to get that button.
Yeah.
You know? My wife loves the Game Show Network. So we've been watching stuff now, like who's the guy? Carlton from the Prince of Bel-Air. He hosts 21, the game show there. And it's like, this is the cheapest. They win $1,000 or $2,000. What's that? The game, I tell you what, the game show I think is pretty exciting to watch is The Wall on primetime, where the guy from
Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick. That's a pretty good show. That's a pretty cool. That's a pretty cool game.
Yeah, this is an homage. My background is an homage to that show. That's yeah. That has nothing to do with comedy clubs.
Even though they're all a big pachinko machine.
That's a good show. You know.
Pretty cool.
And he got a raw deal, I thought. You know, I mean, he was really big at one time, and he had everything going for him.
He had one of those Me Too things happen, I think it was.
Yeah, you know. With somebody that he was in a relationship with.
But. He kept. Yeah. That should be disqualified right there. When you're in a relationship with somebody and they said, you know, I mean, listen, they're abusive people. And let's not be sexist. There's abusive people. You know, I've been with abusive women. You know what I mean? No guy's going to admit that. You know, hey, my girlfriend beats the shit out of me all the time. Would you rather a woman punch you or beat you up or just mentally scold you and berate you for 10 years?
Ooh.
Well, you could do what I do, date a Croatian woman and have both.
Yeah.
I'm 100% option A on that. 100%.
You'd rather
get it over with. Yeah, just beat me. If I'll take a day of beating instead of 10 years of mental abuse.
Yeah, because that's what my wife will do. She'll hold stuff in, and then like 8 months later, you know, it'll just show up when we're walking through Disney World and about to get on the teacup ride. And it's like, it's completely displaced. Like everything's going great. And all of a sudden it just comes out like, you know, like a volcano. But I'm that kind of person. I like to know right away. You know what I mean? In any relationship. Hey, I don't like you. I like you. Just be upfront, right? You have a thick skin. We have to have thick skins, right? We're comics, right?
Mm-hmm. You think?
some of the people that I know that are the closest in relationships are at each other's throats all the time. There's something to be said about clearing the air.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my parents, I don't remember a day, I'm 55. I don't remember a day that my parents weren't screaming at each other, but
wow.
No two better people on the planet. And like, and my girlfriend she is a very hot blooded Croatian woman, and she'll tell me exactly what's on her mind and we'll have it out. But then afterwards, there's no, the fights don't linger because you everything you wanted to say, you said it.
Oh God. No.
And also too, when, if you listen, when a woman's mad at you and she's screaming at you and she's beating you with a monkey wrench, she's telling you how she thinks, you know, and that's how you figure out how to communicate with her better. You know, I learned how to be a better listener. And I think I've learned how to stop having fights, you know.
Yeah, that's a good skill when you can like diffuse.
Yeah, because when a woman's angry and she's screaming at you, it's because the thing that we do wrong incorrectly as men is we try to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
You don't make it about, oh, you're wrong, whatever. You go, wow, you're upset. You're yelling at me. Well, here, let me give you a hug.
I
could see why you feel
brilliant.
That. Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah, I could see why you feel that way. I could have probably done this a little better.
Exactly.
I love, that's a joke I do. You know, my wife's Asian, so you know it's always funny because she'll always tell me like, "You don't know how to communicate." I'm like, "What? You want a piece of cake?" Well, we have a vaccine succession. Pfizer has announced that their vaccine for COVID is 90% effective,
Whoa. And
they expect it to be distributed before the end of the year. Obviously, old people and the people on the front lines.
Well, part of me is thinking. Oh, go ahead, sorry. Yeah, part of me is thinking, wow, man, comedy is saved. Comedy is saved. Yeah. And the other part of me is I won't get on a carnival ride that's only 90% effective.
Yeah. The 10% of that guy hacking in the.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll do a few more Zoom shows until you guys get that up to 99%.
I went and got my blood drawn today for my 6-month meeting with my doctor, you know, to go over stuff.
Uh-huh.
I wanted the antibody test again. Now the nurse there is telling me things that my doctors, because I love when a nurse says doctors don't know nothing, you know, which I guess could be true at times. But I had COVID in June, so I want to see if I still have the antibodies, because I'm thinking, okay, if I have antibodies, if I get on this plane tomorrow and I go to Vegas, I don't have to worry about the person next. You know, I can feel somewhat secure and not be all a hypochondriac on everybody. So she's like, oh, no, you never lose those antibodies. They're always there. I'm like, well, am I always immune? No. I'm like, come on, man, just draw my blood. I don't know. Speaking of medical stuff, you, all of us gentlemen here have heard the expression blue balls.
Oh, yeah.
I would, first of all, what ultimately we're going to get to is whether or not it is a medical illness or a medical condition. Let's first start with you guys. Have you suffered blue balls ever?
Well, no, I haven't, because as you can tell by my voice, I'm still waiting for mine to drop.
There they go.
What about you, James?
What do you mean by blue balls? Like, do you mean just like you're in bed with someone and then it like ends abruptly before you get to, you know, come? Or do you mean like just like over the course of time, like just not just having just hold, just not getting laid and like holding everything in? Like, what is the,
I think you could have left out the cum word, but,
Oh, I'm sorry. This is a family friendly show.
No, it's not, but you know,
I see Bugs Bunny there.
Last week we had a story. Last week we had a story about there was a Catholic school or some prep school, Catholics, United, and the National, whatever. But when they put their sports memorabilia together in their merch, it said CUM. Somebody signed off on it. It was in the gift store. Basically it means that. It means like you're all psyched, you're ready, you know, you're ready to go. Mm. And all of a sudden they go, oh, I don't feel right about this. I got to go. And then, you know, is that a medical condition?
I think it's like, I don't think it is, because once you get that load out, it's like everything just clicks back to normal, you know. I do think that if it's like over a period of time, you do go a little cuckoo bananas, you know.
That's a medical term, cuckoo bananas.
Yes, and, that's the school I came from. I came from Rutgers, baby.
And I'm getting a funny feeling that the questions that Dougie's asking us tonight are the questions he was too afraid to ask his doctor during his 6-month checkup. he was afraid to ask who was asking us.
The nurse had me so scared about the antibodies, so I'm like, I'm not asking her about blue balls. While we're on the antibody subject, ma'am, mind if I ask you? Well, as James is a young guy, so what James is basically saying, Jeff, if I was listening, as you said, is that when he's never suffered from blue balls, because if he's ever been in that situation, he is either, he's just such a stunning young man that he can just go find another woman who will oblige, or he takes care of it himself. That's, I guess he's never suffered because he's just not going to put up with that kind of shit.
I'm not going to tolerate it. That's exactly right.
I'm 55. So I'm like, this stuff doesn't even register with me. Like if you were like, you know, I'm still like, you know, what gets me hot is like looking through AARP magazine and seeing that foam with the big numbers on it. So I, ooh, you know, yeah, you know, so wow. I could actually text on that without my reading glasses. That's what I'm thinking about these days.
He's got one of those cricket phones. I'm not going to lie. I'm at that point when I go to a restaurant now, you know, not a Denny's or something, but a nice restaurant with the lights. I can't see the menu. I got to get my light, my flashlight on my phone, and I got to check out the menu. I can't see the damn menu.
Mm-hmm. So my point is that like when guys talk about sex or something, or young guys and rod, that doesn't even, I could care less, you know. Like I work with like how old are you, James?
27.
Yeah. So I work with guys in their early 20s, you know, and they want to hear like, you know, ask me questions about like exploits and things like that. While you were like, you've been doing comedy for 30 years and you toured in the 80s and 90s. I'm like, yeah, man, like 40, 50 weeks a year for like over 20 years. And they're like, wow, did you ever like have a menage a trois? And I was like, I don't like to share nachos. You know, I've just never, like, I've never been with a woman and thought, you know what I could use right now? Competition.
Yeah. My problem is I can never last. Too excited.
I think if someone calls it exploits, I think you probably be safe that they're not telling the truth.
Exploits.
If a guy goes, yo, you want to hear about my exploits on the road? They're probably full.
This guy's like, Those guys like, no, let's go watch some Jeopardy.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, like I worked with this guy who's like 24. He was like a recent college graduate, and we were doing a one-nighter, and he asked me, like, you know, how often I go on Tinder, and if I, you know, met anybody on Tinder, and I'm like, Tinder? And I'm like, I don't belong to Tinder. And he's like, what, don't you like hooking up? I go, yeah, but not if it means creating a new username and password for something. Uh-huh. You know, yeah, I mean, hooking up with a stranger might be fun, but when you're young, but to me, it's not worth having to download anything else from my phone, you know? So.
Yeah, that's true. I remember the story. What was it? That company that they were online and they were cheaters and.
Ashley
Madison.
It turns out that 90% of the women on there were in one zip code. Coming out of one zip code in Alaska or something like that. Remember?
Oh, wow.
All these dopey bastards. I remember because all those types of services or all those like websites they had, you know, and I went to a few, there was this thing called Adult Friend Finder. When you wanted to get freaky, you try to hook up with a girl, your girl. And you know, like you said, you always get it free, right? Oh, it's free. And then you get to see these people. But then if you want to message them, oh, that's $29.95. If you want to, I'm like, no, I don't think I need this kind of stuff out there.
Nothing's free. It's all a lie.
Nothing is free. Thank you, my friend. Blue Balls says, it says Pediatrics, Official Journal of American Academy of Pediatrics. Blue Balls, a diagnostic consideration in testicular pain in young adults.
Oh, young adults.
Yes. Well, like, you know, most of us, you know, like I said, if I want to have sex, honey, you want to have sex? Like, nah, I'm kind of tired. I go ahead and just watch TV. You know what I mean? It's not like I was 20 years old where I got to find something to put this thing, you know?
I see what you're saying. So if you're young, it kind of makes you go a little bit cuckoo bananas. But if you're, I guess, older, you're kind of just like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, you can deal with it, you know?
Oh, okay. That sounds pretty freeing, actually.
Well, I think what you're saying was, is we all kind of, that saying kind of means like a mental state. You know, yeah. Like, come on, baby, finish what you started, whatever. But you're saying that it can actually be a physical, like if that happens enough, there could be physical ramifications. It could be a condition.
Yeah, blue balls is widely used colloquialism describing scrotal pain.
Oh.
After high sustained sexual arousal, unrelieved, except for James. It's remarkable that the medical literature completely lacks acknowledgement of this condition. I don't know if I ever felt that. Like,
what is this from Bro Bible? Who? What site is this?
I told you who it's from, the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Wow.
You know, that's okay. This is the stuff that, you know, one guy said, okay, this is what we got to write today.
This is our day. Yeah.
this is the journal. I know we talked about cancer the day before. And we talked about all that. Yeah, we actually putting a pig's heart in a human. Remember, that was the one we did the other day. But now we're going to do the story about blue balls. I don't think I've ever suffered that bad from it, but I do believe it exists. All right. Well, here's the time of the show where we're going to make it funny, everybody. This is where we're going to go over some stories. Okay. And you guys are comics. You could have looked over the show. You could have done your research. You could have done anything. Sometimes you got to just do it off the cuff, right? Mm. Sometimes you just got to do it off the cuff. So these are our stories of the day. A doctor was duped into buying a wish granting Aladdin's magic lamp for over $250,000. Now, I read this and I go, this is bullshit story. And then it actually is true. So, is somebody that good of a salesperson to be able to get quite a bit of money, by the way?
Well, I read the story. The doctor was from India. He was an Indian doctor, and he was he was traveling back from England where he was working. He went back to India. And I guess he was talked into it. He actually thought it was real. I mean, too bad he wasn't an American doctor, because he could have got that $250,000 back by billing a Medicare patient for 2 Excedrin and an ACE bandage. And think about it. I mean, he's a doctor in India. I mean, I feel sorry if you go into the emergency room, like you're like bright blue choking. you know, like, you know, and he sees you go, look, a genie.
Yeah. It works. The incident took place in the northern Indian city of Meerut in the state of Uttar Pradesh. The victim, Dr. Laik Khan, which in Indian means dumbass, approached the police when he realized he had been duped and filed a complaint. Now, this guy, I mean, I don't know what kind of doctor he is. That's, you know, I don't know. Did you read that part through the story yet? I don't know if he's like a really medical doctor or he's just like a doctor of love. The doctor allegedly met the occultist who was named Ismuddin through Samira. See, that's the problem. Once you get into the black magic shit, once you start believing in that kind of hocus pocus, you'll buy anything. Right? I knew a guy in Miami that felt that he had a voodoo curse put on him by this Haitian stripper he was banging.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, so he actually went to this lady, the Spanish lady that has the Santa Maria, Santeria, you know, shit and all that stuff. I had to get a chicken. It was a wild day, man.
I wonder if there's a medical condition. There's a name for the medical condition when you you keep rubbing your lamp, but no genie comes out.
Blue face balls.
Yeah, there you go.
happened? Did he get his money back?
No.
What a set. How do you even sleep at night? No. Knowing that you did that. You're an idiot.
Oh, actually they did.
He got it back.
The doctor alleged that he met the occultist, blah, blah, blah. The police have arrested the two accused. It seems that the guy who spent the money was like, please help us find these two. Please help us find these two guys. I'm pissed. yeah. What's the stupidest thing you think you've ever bought, James?
God, I don't even know. The dumbest thing I've ever bought.
Or you witnessed somebody buy. My wife,
the dead air is killing you.
My wife bought one of those like sit-up machines. They were supposedly had the rollers on the back to make it more comfortable to do sit-up. And I was like, this is the worst piece I've ever seen in my life.
I tried to buy weed once and I just got robbed. Like they just, it was the easiest. It was so pathetic. Like I had money and I just gave it to them and they were like, yeah, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Huh?
I've been with friends like that. They went like South Beach and somebody wanted to get cocaine. Like I gave these guys $200 to get coke. Yeah, when they come back.
And then I apologized to them because I thought they were gonna like beat me up because they were like it went from one guy to like next thing you know five of them are there, and then I was like started apologizing. So I not only did I get robbed and give them my money, but then I apologized after. So that was probably that was a bad one.
No wonder you didn't suffer from blue balls because you have no balls.
Yeah.
Good point. Jeff, anything you purchased that you would like to admit to?
I can, oops, wrong one. Here, this right here. Here, I was gonna show, well, I guess I can show you right here. I've got my,
Eddie.
Yeah.
Oh, his head's gone.
Oh, because he's not showing on the screen. Eddie, and that's from, I'm thinking of the song Die With Your Boots On If You're Gonna Die. That's the Trooper, right?
Yeah, there we go.
I saw them three times. What a band, Iron Maiden.
Yeah, this is, now I know what you're thinking. That's not a stupid purchase.
No.
I have to say, for your girlfriend on Sweetest Day?
Yeah, that's... Might as well get her a box of nuts.
Oh, and here you go. You're gonna love this. Look at this right here. I got Kiss Pez dispensers.
Oh, those are cool.
Those aren't dumb purchases.
I want to buy it. How much you sell?
Yeah, I want.
Well, they. That is pretty cool.
That's cool stuff. All right. Let's see here. Here's a story. The getaway car was easy to spot, Oregon cops say, because it had a sofa on top. Rule number one, if you're going to rob a bank or do a robbery, your getaway car should not be an SUV with an old couch on it.
Yeah, rule number one.
Yeah, the guy made a mistake. They said to bring the getaway car. He thought they said bring the get away from it all car. And I think the reason why he was robbing that store is to get enough money to get a moving van.
Yeah, I'm trying to raise money to help me move. Responding to an armed robbery on Tuesday morning at an Oregon hardware store. Didn't have to go far to find the getaway car. It was a dark-colored Mazda CX-9 with a black sofa strapped on top. Deputy Jesus. Spotted the car near Ace Hardware in Happy Valley. They pursued the car, still carrying the sofa, north of Interstate 205 into Vancouver, Oregon. Thank you. Officials wrote the driver finally stopped the car and dashed away on foot, but they caught him because he had a recliner strapped to his back. See, I just made that shit up right there.
What an idiot. I hate this person. I hope he goes to jail for life.
It's good when criminals are stupid. You know what I mean? It's good when, you know, there's those stories, you know, how many times you see a guy goes into a place, he goes in there during the day, gas station, and he goes to rob, he goes and he actually is looking for a job because he needs work. And he goes in there and he fills out an application.
Oh, wow.
And then he comes back later with a mask on his face with the same T-shirt and same pants, you know, and he robs the place.
I guess they're trying to do like reverse psychology where they're like, this, it couldn't be this guy who just tried to get a job. He's just trying to get a job and better his life.
Yeah, that guy couldn't be that stupid.
Yeah. Let's take him off the list of suspects.
Yeah. Let's put him on our manager training program list. He's a go-getter, this guy.
You left at the right time, huh? You filled out the application, got right away from the robbery.
What's the worst job you ever had there, James?
I really have any bad jobs. I just worked at retail. Oh, I had a job. Oh, here we go. So I worked at Petco for like a day. I went training for two, three days, and my first day, at the end of the my shift, they were like, "All right, just go around." They gave me a trash bag, and I'm like, "All right, you got to go around, just throw out all the dead animals. The animals have died throughout the day." And this was not in my training at all. Like, I thought I was going to be petting dogs and like giving out cookies to dogs and just working the register. And they just dropped that on me. There's literally a bucket in the back where they just incinerate them. And that's like what I was supposed to do if I closed the closing shift duties. And I was like, dude, I can't just like pick up rats and throw them. I can't pick up spiders and like just, I just don't have it, man.
Well, I didn't know Petco sold rats and spiders. You know what I mean?
Whatever, like gerbils and shit. That's what, yeah, like not rats, like gerbils and everything, like the little things they sell.
But like, all right, they talk about dogs and cats that just happen.
No. Just insects, fish, and you know, little furry animals. But I mean, I'm the type of guy that if I'm driving and there's roadkill, I still swerve around even if it's been ran over like 150 times. So I wasn't comfortable with it.
Now, you do that because you feel bad of running over the carcass, or you don't want to get the blood on the paint of your car and fur?
No, I'll get the blood in my face. I just feel bad running over the carcass. I feel bad for some reason. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why.
Jeff?
I'm lucky. I didn't really have any. When I was 17, I went straight into the Army. And then when I got out, I went straight into stand-up comedy. And then I worked for American Greetings as a greeting card writer. And nice. I think what was really difficult was when I got laid off from there before I went to work for Carnival Cruise Lines. I was like 40 years old working in a mailroom and copy center for a law firm. And for like, it was the worst 6 months of my life because here I'd been on television. I've been on cruise ships. I've toured the world. I've had my own newspaper column. I've been on, it's just, and then here I was delivering mail to people with pictures of their families and their house on their desk and, you know, and having business meetings and talking about their big cases and going home in their BMWs. And I was taking the bus home after delivering mail all day. And it was like, I have to do whatever I can to find a way to go back into comedy. So I then went to go work for Carnival Cruise Lines for 10 years. I was a crew member. And because that's what comedians who couldn't get booked did before Uber. And I ran the comedy club for Carnival Cruise Line, and it was very difficult being a comedian working on cruise ships, because on stage they want you to be funny, but like off stage you have to keep your mouth shut. And I was constantly like, you know, dealing with guests, and I was trying to be funny, and sometimes you get them, you know, make them angry. You know, like they'd come up and ask me, are you one of the youth counselors in the youth camp? And I go, well, not anymore. Yeah, because apparently it's considered unprofessional to yell, king me, bitch, when playing checkers with a six-year-old. And I ran the comedy club, and it was, a joke I do is the difference between running a comedy club on land and running a comedy club at sea is if you heckle in a comedy club on land, the manager will throw you out. If you heckle the comedians in a comedy club at sea, the manager will throw you out, and then the next day come up to your cabin with a fruit basket and apologize as the cruise director standing behind him spanking him.
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
Yeah, it was really hard dealing with people that were always unhappy, always always yelling at you. And what I found really difficult about it is I have a certain code of conduct, and I think people should act a certain way. And I don't like people who feel that just because they pay for a service that they can act like children. You know, like it was really difficult. So after a while, I realized that my job wasn't to teach people how to act. It was, you know, just to try to just be nice. And so, but running a comedy club is hard at sea. You know, people would, I would get in trouble. One time, people don't understand that stand-up comedy is, it's a matter of taste. You know, and people would come up to me and complain about the comedians. This guy's not funny. He's not funny. He's not funny at all. And so one time I said, excuse me? And the woman said, this guy's not funny. I said, excuse me? She said, this guy's not funny. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, but I can't hear you. There's 500 people laughing at this comedian right now. but then again, that was also my best job, because I got to do comedy 20 sets a week. I got to go all around the world and met great people. So sometimes what you think is a terrible job can end up being one of the best experiences you've ever had. You just don't know it till later.
That's right.
That's so true.
And this is our when life gives you lemons moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Well put.
Yes. I think so. I think one of the weirdest jobs I ever had was I repossessed cars when I was in college for a while. And boy, you talk about people being pissed at you. That was a lot of fun. Here's our next story. Omaha man trying to make sure his gun was safe shoots himself in the leg.
I saw that one.
An Omaha man told police that he was trying to make sure his handgun was safe, and he shot himself in the leg.
Well, at least you know he's not a comedian.
Yeah.
Because if he were a comedian, he would have shot himself in the foot.
There you go.
He just missed his blue balls.
Hold on. Go ahead. Repeat that one more time. Let's make this real. Go ahead. Say. Again, Jeff.
What's that?
Go ahead. What was that again? If he was a comedian, what?
Oh, if he were a comedian, would have shot himself in the foot.
Yeah. Woo!
For the sound effects guy. Yay, hey, that's great stuff. Thank you very much. I'm a gun carrier. I have a concealed weapons permit. I carry weapons. You carry a weapon, Jeff?
No, I do go to the firing range every once in a while with my dad, though.
Yep.
He's 79 and he has a concealed carry permit. We don't trust him with the remote control. But I'm one of those people. How I feel about guns is I think they're fine, but I just don't understand, like, why it doesn't make sense to some people that people should be trained and licensed, and there's a responsibility with weapons. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you're speaking to a martial artist. So it's like, you know, when you learn how to beat the shit out of somebody to the point they can't breathe, you better have some sort of, you know, some training, you know, some responsibility. Like that always happens. It's funny. Like people say, oh, I thought martial artists all disciplined. No, a lot of martial artists are assholes. There's a lot
really?
Of, it's almost like in the comedy business, right? That ego thing, when somebody gets good and they become assholes, they can't deal with with that type of tension. You know what I mean? And there's always a group of assholes in martial arts. Trust me. The man was sitting in his 2011 Chevrolet Malibu preparing to meet friends for drinks when he decided to make sure his gun was safe. Boy, checklist. We're going to go hang out with my buddies. Going to go try to get laid. Going to have some beers. Oh, let me see if my gun is safe.
It's like checking his phone. It's like checking Facebook, but he just checks his gun instead.
Yeah, that's how he's probably trying to break his habit from checking his social media.
Yeah, I'm trying to get off TikTok. You check my gun and do something else with my hands.
That's right. Officer Joe Nickerson of Omaha Police spokesman said most guns will still shoot if there is a round in the chamber. Yes, of course.
That's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
I tell you, ever since I started I learned how to handle a rifle in the Army. But I started shooting handguns with my dad, and I don't like action movies anymore, because you know when you watch action movies, everyone's like,
yeah, yeah.
And the first time I fired a handgun at the range, you know, after the first shot, I was like Aunt B throwing that fishing pole up in the air at the beginning of the Andy Griffith Show. I was like, ah! I mean, just the noise. Like, I love these TV shows where, you know, they're in a car and they fire the gun and they're just like, I mean, if you ever fired a weapon without headphones, I mean, your ears are ringing for a week, and the noise is just frightening. And when I'm at the range, I'm just like, you know, that's another thing. I'm not afraid of guns as I am afraid of people who don't know how to use them. Like when I'm at the range. And I'm glad that guy, the range master, has that piece on his hip, because I know that if anybody went crazy, whatever, he'd know what to do.
Yeah.
You know,
I've been at a gun range where people don't, you know, the guns always go on that table. They're always pointing down range, you know.
Right.
And it's kind of funny. One time my wife, you know, she loves guns and stuff. So one of the first times I took her, you know, we had the AR-15 on a range, outdoor range. And she has the gun in her hand, and she's turning around talking to me, like, "Where's the clip? Oh. You know, where's the other? You know, where do I put?" I'm like, "Honey, what the?" And then the range guy comes running over, "Ma'am, what the fuck are you doing?" And of course, it was my fault. She yelled at me.
Yeah, how dare you? How dare you point a gun at yourself?
Why did you tell me that?
So, what do you think about what do you think about like more gun laws, or like this whole debate over gun laws? I don't understand why people get so upset about just.
I'll throw one in there. I'll tell you something. I think you have to have training and all that stuff. I'll go a step further as a financial advisor. I have to go to get CE every couple of years. So I think that if I'm a gun owner, and especially if I'm going to own an AR-15, for example, not just a handgun or a shotgun, you know, if you're going to get that, then you should be able to get, you have to, every couple of years, you have to go and have an interview with somebody to make sure you're not, you know, check your medications. You know, there should be some sort of background check on that aspect, right?
Or if you go through a breakup or something, you know?
You have to have a license for a Vespa.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think we're ever going to have sensible gun laws as long as people think that the government's going to take their guns away. That's one I've never understood, you know?
Well, here's the thing. Like you said, you don't like to tell people how to be, right? You don't.
Right.
And here's the problem. I think something that we all need to realize is that we are in a country that has a lot of smart, intelligent people, a lot of brilliant people, great athletes. This is America. You have some of the best, you know, characters, shining stars in the world. But like every yin has its yang. And you're also going to have, you know what I mean? You're always going to have that hoople head, you know. That's been banging his sister since she's, you know, five, you know what I mean? And you know, he's drinking beer and smoking meth, and you know, you're always going to have these people. But the worst part about our country now isn't just those dumbasses. Again, it's the people that think they're smart and are giving advice on Facebook. Those people really need to be shot by somebody cleaning their gun. it's not smart people. Helicopter carrying heart for transplant crashes. Not bad. You imagine you're waiting for your heart. Where's the helicopter? It crashed. Oh, what? Firefighters then found the heart and handed it to the doctor, who tripped and dropped it. I think the guy on the operation table screwed. How many bad things can happen? Helicopter crashes. firefighter gets, saves it. I found the heart. Look, guys, I've got it. I've got it. It was right next to the rotor blade in the pilot's head that got chopped off. But I got the heart. Oh, here, Doc. Whoops.
But the cool thing is once they put the heart in, he'll probably be able to be a great backup quarterback for the Browns.
He doesn't have to wear a helmet. This guy, I don't need an airbag in my car. Well, my heart's been in a helicopter crash, and it's been dropped.
And you know, that's the thing about the news. I thought the whole punchline of the story was going to be, and then the guy died.
Yeah.
But they were just, you know, so I'm watching it and I'm thinking, oh my God, what does the family think? You know, I mean, this guy was waiting all this time for this heart, and then this tragedy, this accident happened. Now it's a tragedy. But then the anchor goes up, and it pretty much it's helped him up, and they wiped off the heart, and the guy's fine now.
Yeah, I think that would have been a funny story if the heart got through all that problems to get there.
And then
the guy gets the heart, celebrates with his buddy, does an eight ball, and has a heart attack and dies.
Yeah, right. So why even do the story? So what you're basically saying is this doctor who trained his entire life to save lives and knows how to transplant a heart, these people who spent all their lives learning how to fly, rushed with that heart, had a freak accident, almost died in a fiery helicopter crash. This doctor falls flat on his face, the heart, and they got it all on camera, and they had to run the story.
Yeah.
They couldn't just let him go save the guy's life without making him look like a doofus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the guy with that banged up heart, huh?
Yeah. Oh, Mrs. Johnson, I hate to break it to you. We're not going to be able to give your husband the heart, so he's not going to make it. But here's the good news. Turn into America's Funniest Videos next Sunday.
That heart. Oh, by the way, your husband has blue balls now. happiness doesn't depend on marriage. Brazilian man marries himself after breaks off the engagement.
Brazilian guy, he's probably beautiful. I don't blame him.
Well, you know, Jeff mentioned Croatian woman, very powerful.
Yeah.
Brazilian woman, that if you're ever going to marry a Brazilian woman, be ready. Strong woman, beautiful woman, but they will kick your ass. A Brazilian doctor is going viral across social media sites for his high spirits after he married himself. I do that every night before I go to bed. In a ceremony attended by his family and loved ones. Actually, other people showed up, which is amazing.
Who'd he kiss? Like, how do you?
Yeah, what do you kiss?
How'd that work? How do his vows to himself? And then, like, or does someone hold a mirror out in front of him? And just
that old trick. You remember when you were a kid, you used to go.
Oh, yeah. He just...
like you're making out.
But if there's a priest at the altar, then who's he going to face? He's going to have like, his own little wall.
Yeah, he had a beautiful wedding. They took place at a resort in Itacari, Bahia, where he exchanged vows with himself. I love you. I'll cherish you forever. I'll handle everything the way I'm supposed to. I'll be a man. I'm so glad. I'll be a man, too. I'll be there for you.
You know what's funny? It's like I want to find out that they go because I guess his fiance was a gentleman. Did I get that right? That they're a gay couple.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the part they're not going to tell you is they're going to if you asked the guy why he decided not to marry him at the last minute, he goes, hey, he's no good with money. He wastes money. Would you want to marry somebody that when you decide that the wedding's not going to work out, they're going to spend like $150,000 on a publicity stunt?
Yeah, it says here the footage from the special day show him saying I do in front of a mirror.
Ah,
there you go.
Man, that's like one expensive Instagram video.
he wanted the likes, trying to go viral.
And our last story of the day, French Bulldog is elected mayor of Kentucky Town.
Oh.
And oddly enough, we still don't have official president in our country, but they got a mayor who's a dog in Kentucky. Turns out that's what they do. They elect animals, different breeds of dog in this town. What's your favorite dog? You like a dog? You have a pet, Jeff?
No, I had we had a dog for a long time. Her name was Maggie, a lab. So, and I love labs. So we have two labs next door, And these things are amazing. Like my dad keeps, we have a big box of treats, you know, for the dog. Cause we don't want our own pet anymore. So, whenever we walk past, the dogs like see us and they bark and go nuts until we come over with the treat, and they just jump like Tigger. They just bounce up and down until you give them the treat. and anytime like a gig gets canceled on me, or, you know, or I don't know how I'm going to make my bills this month, you know, and I lose another gig to COVID, I just put on my shoes, go get a doggy treat, go next door, see them jumping dogs, and everything is good again.
There it is. What a way to celebrate. James, you're not an animal guy, I can tell.
Whoa, no, that's not true. I had dogs growing up my whole life. And right now, like, my lady has a cat. So I've been living with her cat. And it's definitely appropriate for where I am in life, because the cats, you don't really need that much. They do their own thing, you know. You can go on vacations, you can get away, but the dogs are, right now, it's just too much. They're constantly want to hang out, constantly they need you so bad. So I'm an animal lover. I just, right now, I you know, that's my point.
Well, my takeaway from this story was, I'm starting to see, like, I have a lot of conservative friends, and they're always talking about how much they hate the liberal media, so to speak, you know, and I never really saw it. Then I got mad at this story, because the way this story was presented, you're thinking that, oh, wow, these idiots, these morons, you know, thought they were going to be funny, and they voted dog because, you know, we don't believe in government, this and that, whatever. So you think there's going to be some big story about how these people are stupid or in whatever. And then when you read the story, you realize you've been misled. It's a charity event. Yeah. They do it every year. They have a city. Like, you think it's some kind of a political protest.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Either that or they're just dumb. But what they have a city manager. They don't have a mayor, so they elect a dog mayor. It's from the local animal shelter, and they raise money. Yeah. For animals. So they like to do that. Like, I wanted a nice, these people are stupid, so they voted a dog story, and I didn't get it. They're just nice people, and that shouldn't sell newspapers.
Yeah, well, it is an attempt to try to make the interesting story, right? And grab, right? It's the shock and awe, and that's what the media needs to do to sell newspapers. But that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank my guest today, Mr. Jeff Shaw. And, of course, James Camacho for joining us today on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Woo! Thanks for having me.
You got it, guys. A lot of fun. And real quick, why don't you guys go ahead and say anything that's coming up. Start with a plug. Let's do youth first. James, anything coming up you want to plug?
Yeah, I have. I'm at Pinstripes Comedy Club in Norwalk, Connecticut this Saturday. Two shows, 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Come see me there. I will be in Florida. I assume most of your audience is Florida. I'll be at Side Splitters Valentine's Day weekend 2021. Come by and follow me at Camach Bro, CamachBro on Instagram and Twitter. I post funny stuff all the time. And I would love to see you at a show. Thanks, Dougie, for having me.
Yeah. Jeff?
I have an album coming out on Tour Records in a couple of weeks, I think. My website is jeffthefundu.com, and it's ontourrecords.com. It should be on Spotify and available on my website. And I'm going to be at Gutty's Clean Comedy Club in Indianapolis, the 20th and 21st. And then all four Looney Bins out in Oklahoma, Kansas, and Arkansas in December. And all my dates and links are on my website.
Always fun. The Looney Bin Comedy Clubs, nice runs put together.
Yeah, and great people, and audiences are good. And
there you go.
And they have condos.
Yeah, house, you know, it's like a house.
Yeah,
but it's nice. December 3rd and 4th, the Ebony and Olive Comedy Tour. Me and my buddy Chris Priest are going to be at Porky's Comedy Club in St. Cloud, Kissimmee, Orlando area.
Oh, one of my favorite clubs.
Love that club.
Peace out. And go to DougieAlmeida.com. Yes, I still have a website through all this nonsense. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show, and follow me on my new Twitter. I got suspended off Twitter, so my Dougie Dangerous Twitter is gone.
What happened?
There was a woman posted something on my tweet, and then she said something. It was political, and she said some things, and I just said something, and then She made it personal, made it like, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I must be alone. You know, how anybody could be with me. Come all this couple. And I said, and I used my friend Rich Voss's quote. I said, ma'am, I have no interest in you. I would step over your naked body to blow the corpse of Freddie Mercury. And you know, I thought that was, I don't know how that was threatening. I'm trying to tell her I don't want to be anywhere near you. Right. I mean, if I'd rather have sex with a dead man who died from AIDS than be around her. But
you could have just said, I would rather have blue balls, which is a certified medical condition.
Yes. Actually, prescription for. But now you can find me at Funny Fiduciary on Twitter, at Funny Fiduciary. And of course, I am at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram. Check us out, guys. We'll be back next week with an all new show right here on our Facebook channel. Be sure to like us if you're watching this on our show and subscribe to us at Like Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Thanks, guys. God bless. Enjoy your week.
Adios.
And we'll see you guys sometime on some stage nearby.
Peace.
Take care.
Wake up!
I'm not psycho!
Wake up!
Wake up!